It's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI. WEEI.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Fourth and final hour of the Rich Keefe Show here on a snowy Monday night. Fitzy alongside a full tang Fitzy. And the Red Sox winter weekend started on Friday night. We were getting some of the intel while we were on the air Friday. Then it
big hit
went into Saturday. It was a smash success, as this was the first opportunity for John Henry, Heim Bloom, Sam Kennedy, and then also like Alex Cora. But to be in front of a live audience, like Red Sox diehard fans that are willing to spend a few bucks, go out to Springfield, and, you know, see some players, maybe do some meet and greet with players. But there's also this Q&A session where they're going to sit in front of the masses, something that they haven't done.
And Joe, something we all know John Henry loves to do.
Loves the stuff and is good at.
Loves fan service.
Listen, we all have different skill sets, right? His is having billions of dollars, not the public speaking part of it.
Taking unique photographs with his lady bride while eating ice cream, or maybe spending a day on their yacht.
Who doesn't like a good ice cream, you know? And so that was, yeah, there's that. That's a memorable thing. But so basically the crowd went nuts. They were chanting Dave Dombrowski at one point. They were booing him. They weren't letting Heim Bloom get a word out. They were just really, really, really pissed. And again, we played a cut earlier, but Heim Bloom's like, yeah, I knew that was coming because, you know, we were bad last year, which just kind of bugs me because it had so much more to do with Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts and some of the trades or non-trades. It's got a lot more to do with just being in last place from a year ago. But you were asking about sort of the ins and outs of this winter weekend before. And
correct.
Part of it is this setup. Tom Caron from Nesson, Jared Karabas from DraftKings, they were up on the dais, as it were, and asking questions, and they all had microphones, and they're all answering or whatever. They ran that for about 90 minutes.
That's a long feedback for them.
Now, it was also, the plan was on Monday night, now tonight, they were going to run that on Nesson. Now,
could I watch that, Rich? Fitzy in Connecticut.
Go ahead.
Yeah, with the $30 I spend every month on Nesson Gold, could I get that as a premium to download and watch whenever I want?
Well, yes, but you can't get the whole thing. They're going to give you the edited version.
Where are we, North Korea?
No.
Are you kidding me? They're going to sanitize it?
So it was a 60-minute television product. So they had 90 minutes. I was talking to Coop earlier today from the Brad Foe Show, Baseball Isn't Boring. And Coop was saying, he was there. He was the one that jumped on with us and sort of told us about how cringeworthy and uncomfortable the thing was. But he said they probably went about 90 minutes. Now, Nesson's plan was to air an hour of it. And with commercials, what is that, really like 44 minutes of it, probably?
44 minutes. And they'll always tell you that was the plan all along. They definitely are not cutting out everything John Henry wants you to cut out.
Actually, according to Coop, they cut out everything John Henry said. John Henry didn't answer a question on the TV version.
Oh, my God.
Because he, of course, famously said something about, well, ticket prices are high because baseball players cost a lot of money. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the message that he sent out there.
Oh.
You can imagine.
How do we have more expensive tickets than the New York Yankees, or more expensive tickets than the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Than everybody. Right. They have more expensive tickets than everybody. It's such an expensive ticket. Like just the old family of four thing when you factor in parking, maybe a Fenway Frank and a nice soda pop. It is
$550 with parking, tickets, and snacks, a couple of sous vides for the kids just to lose 7-3 to the Orioles.
You want a soft serve ice cream and a mini helmet? Of course you do. You're out $20. You're out 20 large. But seriously, his answers were not met well by the crowd. Neither was Heim Bloom's. Alex Cora was able to kind of save it a little bit. The fans still like Alex Cora very much, so they were sort of bring it back a little bit when he would jump in there. And then the next day, from what I heard, I wasn't there, but the next day, I guess, really wasn't too bad. And, you know, a lot of players around. And I think fans are willing to give these players the benefit of the doubt, right? Like Trevor Story's there and with his bionic arm, and he's saying he's hoping he can play this year. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Fans are going to eat that up too. But they're not going to listen to John Henry tell you that we have the highest ticket prices and they're not going anywhere because players are expensive, even though they didn't sign Xander Bogaerts, they didn't sign Mookie Betts 3 years ago, et cetera, et cetera.
And did you hear Sam Kennedy? Always been very nice to me and a very pleasant dialogues and exchanges, whether it's been on the radio or in person. So I don't really have a bad word to say about Sam Kennedy, gentleman, person, father.
Okay. All right.
However.
Yeah, I was going to say.
When he said.
Preface aside.
Okay. When he said they understand that they have expensive tickets and it costs a lot to go to a game at Fenway, but they still do have $9 tickets for students and tried to offer up the idea that they reserve a certain amount of tickets at a discounted rate. I would have grabbed the first person I thought I could have picked up over my head and thrown that person at Sam Kennedy.
Yeah, that's tough. The fans,
get out of here.
They
with that.
Don't want to hear
the
that.
Road.
Yeah. Like, all right, what? So how am I going to get that? With I'm not a student. How like I'm not like I was for a long time, not anymore.
Go pinch someone's Northeastern ID just so I can afford to get into a Sox game.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's just right now the fan base is upset. This was really the only time to kind of voice it because they don't exactly at Fenway Park announce like, hey everybody, like John Henry's here, because he's not even always there, by the way. But they don't like show him, and it's not like a big thing. So this is a rare case, and as you pointed out earlier. A lot of people had to pay money to go out to Springfield, and
that's already a lose-lose.
It doesn't.
I joke. I love Springfield.
Everybody loves Springfield.
Everybody. Fact.
Every state has one, and so that way.
There's a lot of entertainment. There's good people. You got the Basketball Hall of Fame. Fabulous brewery out there. White Lion Brewing. Who doesn't love a brewery named after one of my favorite late 80s rock bands? Come on.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great spot. So you mentioned Sam Kennedy. Here is more of what Sam Kennedy had to say about the weekend.
To be accountable when things don't go well, because we're up there getting crazy applause and, you know, everyone's patting you on the back when you win and you do well. When you don't do well, you need to own it and you need to acknowledge that there is one way to turn the tide, and that's to make the right decisions that are going to lead you back to playing baseball in October and hopefully get on track for another World Series championship. But you're right, and listen, so many fans, you know, they come up to me afterwards, oh, I'm sorry, there were some people booing. I'm like, hey, there's one way to change it, and we know what to do. And probably the only person that was, you know, really upset that we were getting booed was my mom. You know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, these are my fans, our fans, our families. They understand because we're New Englanders. We know, right? This is what it's all about. When you don't deliver on what your promises are, you're going to hear about it. And so it's up to us to deliver. We need to stand up. Take the criticism when it comes, and we'll take the glory if and when it comes. Hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. But it was a great night, and I'm really appreciative not only of the people coming, the fans, but our players. I mean, they came in from all over the world, literally, to be here. It was important to them to show up and to sort of kick off the 2023 season in a social, fun way. They had it went late last night. The guys were having a great time. Most of them were losing money. But it was a great way to start what hopefully will be a fun 2023 season.
Sniff at the end. Just a real way to shine up what was a terrible night. And you were just getting booed. And again, it's not just coming in last place. And at least Sam hits on it more than Chaim Bloom did, where he's like, he made a reference to like false promises or whatever. Like, right. You can't tell us that you want Xander Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts a priority, and then don't get him, and you also didn't trade him. Like, so how was any of what you did? What was the best thing for the Red Sox? Like, you can't spin it that way.
And let me ask you, going forward, whoever establishes now, obviously Rafael Devers has such a long-term deal; he's never going to worry about getting to that next contract and not being appreciated by the Red Sox. But as far as veterans who come up in the system, are homegrown talent, and are fan favorites that get to that next contract phase, which one of them in the short to near-term future, Rich, is going to feel like they're going to get taken care of? Because two of the most recent examples, John Lester 8 years ago,
yeah,
and Xander Bogaerts most recently, got kicked to the curb and completely disrespected by the organization. An organization that is here telling you that they got to get to next year for all these homegrown talents to finally rise up and lead the Red Sox into this most glorious new decade of competitive baseball. Like, I don't buy it. Stop selling me lies. Yeah. Stop selling me overpriced hot dogs and lies.
One tastes better than the other, to be honest. But how about Sam dropping a My Fans in there, too? I wasn't ready for that.
My fan coming up to me afterwards and saying, "My fans, oh, sorry, it was only a couple of people." This is not the vocal minority was heard louder than the vocal majority.
No, this was finally you had an opportunity for the actual voice of the fan to be heard, and they were pissed. They are pissed. And obviously, like, you start winning, that's going to turn it around. But even they're like, yeah, it's not going to be this year. Get ready for 2024. That's when all the young pups come up. You're like, oh, my
And this
goodness.
Is Boston. You can't be tone deaf to what your fans are into. And the fact that, like, look, so Tom Brady, like the Brady principle, if you will, in Boston sports is that years ago, he and Belichick together are so successful that it forces every team in town to spend, to do better, to care more, and to try to win. And everyone did. That's why it becomes the new title town and ultimately entitled town. Well, that's the way you have to care about this now. And Robert Kraft, the day after they lose and get bumped from the playoffs and finish with a losing record, is so upset about getting flexed out of Sunday Night Football and now being semi-irrelevant and not being back in the playoffs and not winning more games, sends out a season ticket holder email saying this is unacceptable, changes will be brought about. And he has, I won't say emasculated like Andy Hart has said, but he has basically kind of taken control of the PR narrative spin and let everyone know, like, this ain't happening. He's preventing getting booed on stage in Springfield, Rich.
Oh, yeah, because he's showing you how much he actually cares about it. That's oh, my goodness. You know what that means? That means that we have a final from Orlando.
Oh.
Celtics lose to the Magic, 113-98. My God, hopefully the Celtics don't play the Magic in a playoff series. They can't
They're
beat the Magic.
3 against the Orlando Magic.
It's a good Orlando team. Not really. And so the Celtics played.
No, they're not.
No, they actually stink. The Celtics played without Time Lord, without Marcus Smart, without Malcolm Brogdon, but they did have Tatum and Brown. So we'll get into this game a little bit more. Celtics lose to the Orlando Magic. Ben Charleston has more in trending.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now, it's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Final 40 minutes or so of the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy, and the Celtics just can't beat the Orlando Magic. You know, sometimes good teams struggle with bad teams, and that is what we're dealing with here with the Now, three losses to the Magic. So the
In
Celtics.
Three efforts, no less.
Yeah. 3-for-3 for Orlando.
Jeez.
The Celtics have the best record in the NBA. The Orlando Magic have, let's look at this, the fifth worst record in the NBA. Only San Antonio, Charlotte, Detroit, and Houston are worse than Orlando. And they have 18 wins on the year, three of them are against the best team in the league. Now, I believe one of those came.
Wow.
One of those came without Jason Tatum, but still, it shouldn't matter. And then tonight, no Robert Williams, no Marcus Smart, no Malcolm Brogdon.
Personal reasons. We never heard much about that, right? Just
the Brogdon one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, Smart and Time Lord both got banged up in the win over Toronto over the weekend. But Tatum and Brown played. Like, that should be enough to beat the Orlando Magic, and it wasn't. The Orlando Magic got out to a hot start. Celtics did show signs of life in the second quarter. They had a big run to cut the lead all the way down to one, and then it was just more of the same in the second half for the Orlando Magic. And you credit to you, Fitzy. Paolo Banchero hit the over, the rookie out of Duke, 23 points in the game. Tatum and Brown each had 26. But really, nobody else was doing. They had nobody else even taking shots, let alone scoring points with the Celtics.
That's a modest sum for both of them as well, considering that they both knew that they were going to have to carry the freight tonight with Marcus Smart and Robert Williams and Malcolm Brogdon, who has been tremendous. Like, you want to talk about sixth man for the Celtics this year. He's been awesome.
Yep.
So without those guys, like, you got such a good game out of Al Horford the other night, Rich, that there's no way you could have thought, like, okay.
Oh, the Golden State game? Oh, yeah, he was great. He was.
Yep. You couldn't have possibly thought you would get another banger of a night out of Al. Okay. Peyton Pritchard. Sorry, man. You're going to have to step up one of the, like, I know he had a good game a couple nights ago as well, but, like, 31 minutes, three rebounds, four assists, 5 points.
You're right. The Toronto game, actually, was just on Saturday.
He
had a decent amount of run in that game, and because, you know, Smart's injury. Yeah, that's the kind of guy that, listen, it's not the perfect role, but when two guys are hurt, you're going to be called upon. Like, he's pretty buried on the depth chart, but this team is one of the deepest teams in the league. Like, they should be able to withstand an injury or two, and when you're playing against a really bad team. But, again, I'm not going to freak out about a January loss where the Celtics are pretty undermanned. But there is something with Orlando. It's like, how the hell do you lose three? The Celtics have only lost 13 games all year, and, right. and three of them are to the Orlando Magic. So
I don't get it. It's so
it's really weird.
Uh-huh. What is it? What is it? Is it Orlando's speed? Is it their style of play? Is it the...
I don't know.
I mean, they're a very young team.
They are. They're extremely young. I believe that's the final matchup. Thank God. They don't have to play Orlando again.
Wow. This is one of those things where...
you want to avoid Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah, Rich, watch. This will be kind of one of those things where, like, the Celtics go on to win the NBA championship, mm-hmm. right? They hang banner 18, but Orlando gets to, you know, hold bragging rights.
Yeah.
And they'll be like,
swept them.
Well, you could never beat us.
Like, no.
Sorry,
no,
mofos. We had your number all season long. Too bad we couldn't play in the finals. Of course, we missed the playoffs. But
oh, I'm sorry. Back in October, the Celtics beat the Magic. So I was going to say, I thought they played four times. So the Celtics,
they did. Okay.
Celtics won the first match. No, I was right there with you. I completely forgot about that game. That game was forever ago. Was that the first? That was the third game of the year. So, yeah, we had forgotten about that game. So mm-hmm. they beat Orlando once. They lost to them three consecutive times. And they continue this little Florida trip tomorrow. They're in Miami. So back-to-back for the Celtics. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it was such a big win against Golden State where they didn't play all that well. Mm-hmm. And then they get it into overtime, and they win the overtime game. You could see there being a little bit of a letdown. And then they still win on Saturday despite the guys getting hurt in that game. Because I thought
that
maybe
was the more impressive win to me.
Right, because you thought that might be not a scheduled loss per se, but, like, you could see, all right, you beat Golden State at home. Now you're in Toronto. Maybe you're not going to get up for that game. Mm-hmm. But they found a way to win, and then this ended up being the game that they just fell apart, didn't have a whole lot going on. So we'll see how the Miami goes tomorrow. And then they're back home on Thursday for the Knicks, and then the Lakers on Saturday. Interesting week. Yeah.
That game at the Lakers a couple of weeks back was... uh-huh. A hell of a roller coaster.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That was another overtime game, right?
They had a massive lead. They blew it. The Lakers, I think, went on like a 32-5 run mm-hmm. during the game. Squeak out a comeback to get it to overtime, and then somehow pulled the W out of thin air.
Pretty wild. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Kelly in Amherst on the Celtics. What's up, Kelly?
What's up, guys? I'm loving the show. Thanks. So, listen, we don't need to freak out.
No.
About this Orlando situation, I'm going to give you a little bit of a in-depth report here. Well, a short one.
Okay.
So here's what happened. Here's what really happened during the game. You guys were having a great time chatting it up, telling us all about everything, and I appreciate mm-hmm. you for that. Mm-hmm. But what you missed was that Tatum had some kind of weird injury thing. Like, in the middle of the third period or quarter, he went out. He, like, called. He raised his hand. He's like, I need to go out. He went out, he goes to the locker room, and all of a sudden, everything flipped. They were real close at that point. It was like about even. And then Orlando goes on this crazy run. And what was happening was Jaylen Brown was like the only man left. So he's trying to be the point guard. And as you might understand, as you might expect, it went really bad. He's throwing balls way over guys' head, way past everybody. He really stunk in that department. Everyone was kind of freaking out. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Is Tatum hurt? What are we going to do? By the time he came back, it was already a little bit too late. They tried to fight back, and they didn't. So there was a little weirdness on this one. Let's not get too worried about it. But you guys sound great. Love the show. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Kelly. Thanks for the compliments
correspondent
and the insight there. You're right. We have one eye on the game as we're doing the show. Mm-hmm. Tatum ended up playing 38 minutes total in the game. Jaylen Brown played 37. So those guys were right at their averages, if not slightly over.
I'm still concerned they're going to be tired by the time you get to the postseason. If you're asking these guys to play 36 to 43 minutes a night, every night, 80-some-odd games, up and down the court, Tatum's managing an injury. He's already talking about the off-season wrist surgery. I think they have to make a move at the deadline. I need another score. I need another score off the wing. Unless Gallinari's going to be, you know, like he went to QC Kinetics, like Greg always talks about on the station.
Maybe he did.
Was able to, maybe or he did. Borrowed some of that Peyton Manning magical European pig DNA and fixed his knee.
See, I think
you have to get another score, Rich.
See, I think they're good. I think they're good in that department. You have two guys that are in the top 12 or whatever in the NBA in scoring. I think you have Brogdon off the bench, not tonight, But normally you have Brogdon off the bench, and I think that is such a big difference from a year ago. And then it allows you to have the random Smart, Horford, Derek White game. You're not relying on any of those guys to be great every night, but if they have the occasional one, that's now a pretty good fourth scorer. And then forget about, I mean, I'm not even relying on Time Lord offensively, but he's going to get 10, 12 points here and there. I think they have enough. And, you know, whether it's Grant Williams or Sam Hauser or somebody to provide a spark from three, I'm not, again, we're already going down to like the eighth, ninth guy. Like, so.
Right. If you, may play seven or eight in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. And depending on who you bring in there, like, where's the minutes? And I think that's going to be tough to get anybody that is clearly better than those other guys that I named. I think is going to be a tough situation. But
you know what it is? It's the Markelle Fultz factor.
Is that what it is?
It's the Markelle. This is the Markelle Fultz revenge season.
Number one overall pick in the draft, who was picked ahead of Jason Tatum. So not great. Although Jonathan Isaac returned, I think he only played 10 minutes, but he was finally back. That's a guy that's got promise for days, right? Everybody's been waiting for Jonathan Isaac to turn into something. They have a lot of interesting characters on that team, whether it be Fultz or Bol Bol, Jalen Suggs. Yeah, it's a lot of guys besides Banchero, who like was a stud. A lot of guys are like, oh, he could be good. Like, there's promise there. It's gonna be tough to be a Magic. If you're an Orlando Magic fan, you still just wearing the Penny Hardaway jersey?
You have to.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, like, you still just have to be wondering, like, what if Nick Anderson hit those free throws in 94?
You know what's, it's not funny, but when Brett Maher was missing all those extra points last week, and then this week he had it blocked, although you pointed out, probably would have missed it anyway.
Probably. Did you see the trajectory of that ball?
That wasn't looking like it was
going
through the
uprights. That thing was going sideways left fast.
Yeah. Did somebody get a hand on it? Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. But it kind of reminded me, because everybody always points to like Rick Ankiel or Chuck Knoblauch. Like, it reminded me of Nick Anderson, where it gets to the point where you're like, all right, now I kind of feel bad a little bit? Like, this guy, like, it. Not that Nick Anderson could never, ever make another free throw again, but like, it just was a problem for him, and it kind of ruined his career. He got, like,
did you hear from him on the big stage ever again?
No, that was pretty much the end of Nick Anderson. But the Orlando Magic in 95, woof, what a sweet spot. That was a good team.
That was a great team.
That was fun.
I would love to put together one day a list of just even maybe in the NBA, let alone all sports, great teams, borderline wagons that never won and kind of deserved a championship.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorites, 2002 Sacramento Kings.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, Pedro Stojakovic, Doug Christie, Mike Bibby. Or is that Jason Williams? No, it's Bibby, right?
So fun.
So good. So good. Oh, my God. What a great team.
They got jobbed by the referees in Game 7 against the Lakers.
It was all those teams that the Lakers beat, I always liked. Like the Jailblazers. I loved the Portland Jailblazers. Those guys were awesome. And then there were some good Phoenix teams in there that came after the fact with, like, Steve Nash, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire. None of them ever won. None of them even made it. Because
the
Lakers
ones in
the 90s
with Chuck and Thunder Dan?
Yeah. Oh, I wish they won. Yeah, at least they made it to one.
Right.
And like Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, never won it with the Sonics, made it to one. Ah, man. They really got screwed because their team, not to go off this bridge completely, but in 96, they played against the best Jordan Bulls team. Mm-hmm. And if Jordan was just retired for one more year, Sonics would have won the title. They took him to six games in that series. That team was really, really good. But yeah, that 96 Bulls team was the best one that they had.
Yeah, that team was. Wait, was it the next year though? It was the 96. Oh, it was the 96 Bulls that went 72-8, right?
Yeah, 72-10.
72-10, excuse me.
And then they just, I think they either swept everybody or it was five games until they got to the finals and it was six games. And it was Gary Payton and there's a good scene in the Last Dance where George Karl like didn't put Gary Payton on Michael Jordan until like the fourth game or something. And he like kind of held him down, and Peyton thought it was like he held him down, and Jordan was like, "He what?" And that's when he just started laughing at him. He's like, "No, no, no." He's like, "I had a bad game. It had nothing to do with him." You're like, all right, fair enough. Fitzy, something else that came out today: the 43rd Razzie nominations,
43rd annual.
Yeah, they've been doing this
almost
a long time.
As long as I've been walking this here earth.
Correct.
Wow.
They do this, of course, on Oscar Eve. So the Oscar noms are tomorrow. If anybody's in on that, Oscar
either
noms.
Top Gun Maverick for Best Picture or GTFO.
It may. Well, do you think it gets nominated? Just because I think it probably does, because they always try to get one big one to hopefully tell people, like, hey, watch our show, please.
That's why they went to 10 nominations. And I think everyone universally agreed that it was one of the best films of the year. It was certainly the biggest crowd pleaser and made $1.5 billion worldwide.
Yeah, it should be.
But
in
if
there.
That's not like if that isn't the definition of everything people love in a movie, then what is?
Avatar 2.
Ugh.
That movie made $2 billion somehow.
And I don't know anyone who saw it.
No, me neither. Like, how are they juking the stats on this thing?
I don't have 6.5 hours.
No,
my God.
I don't. Well, James Cameron said he can get up and pee anytime you want, so clearly it doesn't really matter.
Movies like that.
He's like, I
do
don't
you
care.
Agree or disagree that
agree.
When movies breach the 3-hour threshold, they should come with an intermission?
Yeah, just like a brief intermission, beer break, pee break, whatever you do on your free time.
Fun little aside.
Okay.
In 2005, I was visiting my brother in Turkey. He was teaching English as a second language.
All right.
So I was in Turkey. And we went to go see the movie I had been dying to see for a year's time straight. Batman Begins.
Ooh.
And I saw it in the city of Istanbul, Turkey. Wow. Not Istanbul, Izmir.
Yeah, so that's where Bald Bull's from, I believe.
So we go to see it, this lovely coastal town in Turkey. And it's in English, but they have Turkish subtitles.
All right.
Halfway through the movie, he has just like told someone like, I'm Batman, or like, I'm Vengeance.
Yeah, right.
All of a sudden, a sign pops up on the screen and it says like in Turkish intermission. And then there's English subtitles underneath intermission. It's so that people can go outside and rip darts.
Oh, there you go.
They take a smoke break in Turkey.
Smoke break. How's that, man? Like I was like, just guys like itching, just waiting to get up. He's like, when's this intermission
going?
This thing's taking forever.
Got a cup of tea and ripped two darts and then went back into this theater. Smelled like a bar in 1997 when I went back inside.
Those people had a nice time. They enjoyed themselves. There is something to that. All right, so your five nominees for Worst Picture. I don't know if you've seen any of these. These are the worst movies of the year.
Yes.
Blonde.
Oof.
Disney's Pinocchio. Again, there was two Pinocchios this year.
Remember the days where it was like Crisis in the Hot Zone and Outbreak? Like, I love years where there's competing movies on the same topic.
The Prestige and The Illusionist.
One of them did well. The other was The Illusionist.
The other one's called The Illusionist. I kind of liked both. Now, The Prestige is one of like the 20 greatest movies probably of all time. Well, one of my 20 favorites. But The Illusionist isn't terrible. You're out on The Illusionist.
But it was just like... It was,
same year. Yeah. What the hell was it? It was like Friends with Benefits and...
No Strings Attached.
Thank you. It was like two.
Everyone was going there. I think there were some other competing properties, maybe before Friends with Benefits.
No Strings Attached. Friends, that's what everybody was saying. It was right on the tip of their tongue. They're driving in the snowstorm right now, saying, "Keith, how come you're not talking about the Ashton Kutcher vehicle?"
You know what it is? 1998. What about Deep Impact and Armageddon?
Yep. Now we're talking
competing.
When Ben Affleck
extinction event movies.
Ben Affleck asked Michael Bay because, of course, Armageddon. The whole plot is you take a bunch of guys on like a oil rig and you send them to space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Well, why didn't you just teach the astronauts how to like blow the hole in the thing?" And he's like, "Ah, shut up." he's like, wouldn't that make more sense?
And they also saved the world with 2 weeks. They learned how to do all this in 2 weeks.
Well, it was a hell of a montage. You got Steve Buscemi, a little bit of a wild card.
And it gave us the worst Aerosmith song of all time.
Yeah, that was tough. And then he's doing the thing with the animal crackers on her tummy.
I still can't.
Remember that scene? Oh my God. You couldn't run away from that on MTV for a while.
I've never wanted to be strapped to a comet more than
Hey, let me go. Take
God,
me.
That movie sucks.
Take me. You know what? At the time, I really enjoyed it. Of course, I was also 7th or 8th grade, but I really enjoyed it at the time. Good cast.
Great cast.
All right, so Disney's Pinocchio. Good Morning, which apparently is a stoner comedy starring Machine Gun Kelly. The King's Daughter.
Put that on the can't wait to never see it list.
And Morbius.
Morbius from the Dork and Mac and Goo crossover podcast.
I've only seen Morbius. I was going to watch Blonde. It's Ana de Armas. Who plays Marilyn Monroe? Although
a lot like her from the promotional photos.
But apparently, it's not really the true story of Marilyn Monroe. It's like fiction. It's like really hyper fictionalized.
So, what is it? The Inglorious Bastards of Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, but like depressing. It's like really
so
sad.
It doesn't have a happy ending where she's like, well, hey, just because JFK, you know, doinked me and then left me by the curb doesn't mean that I'm going to off myself.
Now, there's a big Joe DiMaggio scene. No, it's just, I don't know, apparently. And this, speaking of needing an intermission, this is also like a 3-hour long movie, I guess.
Oh, you know what? Good. You know, but this is what I need more of. 3-hour fictionalized versions of sad starlets.
However, she might also get nominated for an Oscar tomorrow is the buzz. So it's nominated for worst movie, but she might get. So anyway, so I haven't seen it. Now, worst actor. Do you know what Machine Gun Kelly's real name is?
I do not.
It's Colson Baker.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah. So he's in Good Morning. Pete Davidson for Marmaduke. It's just his voice, but apparently enough to get nominated for worst actor.
This just in, there was a Marmaduke movie?
Yeah. Yep, there was. Tom Hanks as Geppetto in Disney's Pinocchio.
Only
Jared
an
Leto.
Accent enough that may have set race relations with the Italians back 100 years.
Tough year for accents for Tom Hanks, by the way. He also was nominated.
How was he not nominated for Elvis?
That's worst supporting actor. Oh. So he got nominated for worst actor and worst supporting actor. He could take home both prizes. Yeah, so not to skip ahead, but worst supporting actor Tom Hanks in Elvis, which 100% should be in there.
Oh, and it was what is the name of the movie Tom Hanks is in right now? Like Otto Goes for Breakfast or something?
Yeah, my name is Otto.
My name is Otto.
My name is Otto, I'm being told.
My name is Otto. A friend of mine saw it recently.
A man called Otto.
A friend of mine went to go see it.
That's what it says.
The trailer made it look like a feel-good movie with Tom Hanks. I took my mom. Both of us wanted to get in the car, roll up the windows, and drive off a cliff after we saw it.
What's happening to Hanks?
I don't know.
Is Tom Hanks not a good actor anymore? Or is he just picking terrible projects? Or both?
Yeah. I don't know.
There was a run that Tom Hanks had a run that you would stack up against any actor of all time, probably.
Well, what's the sweet spot? I can tell you all right. What I think it is.
Let me dig it up here. I would probably go 88 to 95.
Wow.
Ready? Just real quick. Big, The Burbs, yeah. Turner and Hooch, Joe versus the Volcano, A League of Their Own, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, wow. Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Toy Story.
Holy smokes.
Saving Private Ryan is not till 98 if you wanted to extend it a little bit longer.
Now,
but yeah.
That's your cutoff. Now, see, I was going to say Tom Hanks from like 1996 to 2003, where you have Castaway. I'm just calling this from memory.
Yep.
Saving Private Ryan.
Green Mile.
Green Mile.
Road to Perdition.
And Road to Perdition, which I've told you before, is one of the greatest graphic novels and an incredible movie.
And
that
Catch
was
Me
the
If You Can.
Subdued, minimalist acting Tom Hanks period. Yeah. And I think that as much as I was a fan of his broad comedy in the 80s, I think that might be my favorite period of Tom Hanks movies.
Now, he is just in a rut. Elvis, Pinocchio, A Man Called Otto.
Oh, God.
That was
cashing
his
20 checks.
Oh, my God. I guess so.
These movies are his Orlando Magic.
You
just can't beat him.
You know what I've decided he needs? He needs to... Remember when Quentin Tarantino saved John Travolta?
Mm-hmm.
Pulled John Travolta into Pulp Fiction. All of a sudden, he was the coolest guy in the world again. Tom Hanks needs to get into a Tarantino movie. That's
great
all he's
idea.
Got. That's his only chance. All right, we'll wrap up the program. Where's the time go, right? You sit down,
God,
you
so
start
many,
chopping
I just
it
pulled
up.
A Razzie's list. Oh, my God. I never want to see.
There's a lot of tough movies.
Do we even
this.
Have time to, for each of us to share our worst movie of the year?
Yeah, let's do that coming up next.
All right, great.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up with, is that it? Plus the worst movie of the year on a snowy Monday here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy.
It's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, wrapping things up here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy here on a Monday night. If you missed any of the program, you can check out the podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search the Rich Keefe Show. Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show as well. Before we get to our worst movies of the year, let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. Let's talk about the Bills and Bengals. Paul, what do you got?
Rich and Fitzy, thank you for taking my call. First time caller.
Yep.
I don't understand why the NFL will let a team play in white while this snowstorm was going on. Forget about that.
Okay.
It was like a decoy, just about. I know that Josh Allen made his own bed, but besides that,
you think he wouldn't have? You think he would have been better had the Bengals not been wearing white?
Yes, I think so in a way. But what I don't understand is this: why? Like, I played football a little bit.
Sure.
It's hard to catch a ball when you're throwing a ball 50 yards down the line in the snow.
Of course.
And I didn't see Joe Burrow do that. 8 yards, 10 yards, these little skips and dips. And I couldn't figure that out until I realized that this guy is the real deal.
That's right.
And he went into somebody that plays in that type of nature, and Mother Nature put a almost like paralyzed them for canceling that game. But I hope that doesn't happen, because Josh Allen is a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you can never pass this thing. The other thing I wanted to say is this.
Uh-huh.
We are locked in into this. We are locked in that for 20 years we dominated that division.
Sure did.
But yet not no more.
No.
But now we got Brady going to the Patriots.
Huh?
And Brady going to the Patriots and
he's coming back to the Patriots? That might not happen.
Yeah, that might not happen. No, if O'Brien has his say, O'Brien has his say, that ain't going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen because, you know, I know he doesn't want to go to San Fran because, you know what?
Why?
It's way away from his kids. Okay. But, you know, kids don't pay the bills. You pay the bills.
Fair.
But I'm going to say this. The only team that I can see Brady going to would be like the Jets or the but
Giants.
The Giants. Yes.
Yeah.
Giants.
So there's two Titans.
Yes, because
there's
of Vrabel. Yes.
Vrabel there.
Yes.
Dolphins.
No way.
No way on no Dolphins.
Way. No, because he had a thing going to LA Ram remember he said he was going to
Rams?
Him and Gronk and that WWE guy was that up.
No, you're talking about the Raiders. The UFC.
Yes. Yeah, LA Raiders. Yes.
Raiders.
But yes. But here's the deal.
Right.
The deal is Brady, just take the money and Fox.
Who are you playing? Are you role playing now? Oh, you're just telling Brady to go to
TV
Fox.
Deal.
Got it.
Yeah, just take the money in Fox. We don't want to go against you.
No.
You gave us more than we gave you. Just take the money and go to Fox, baby. Okay?
All right
That's
baby.
The end of it.
I love it, Paul.
Thank you.
Call anytime, my man. Fitzy? What do you think?
Was that, Paul was actually reading from the script of A Man Called Otto.
I think you're going to hear that call in its entirety in the Week in Review on Friday. That's what I think. So first he's pissed that teams are wearing white in the snow. Love that. And then he's going
to... Yeah, why are they allowed to wear white in the snow?
Telling Tom Brady to stay in... go to Fox. Just go to Fox, baby.
Go to Fox. Had all those teams. Jets, Giants, Titans.
Yep. Okay, give them too. Yep. All right, I like that one. Good stuff. Fitzy, the worst movie you saw that was released in 2022 was?
It was a tie.
Oh, a tie?
Two franchises met head-to-head in the dojo, a real kumite of crap between one movie I watched because I thought it would be comfort food late at night. The other I took the children to. That would be Jurassic World Dominion.
You didn't like the sweet dino action?
Minions, The Rise of Gru, which even my 9-year-old dubbed Minions, The Rise of Pooh.
Oh, what
a terrible movie that was.
Minions no good, huh? I've never seen
not
Minions.
Good. The other ones, I can sit through all the other ones anytime with the kids in the van on sick days when they like watching them just for comfort and killing time. Whoa, man, that was bad. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of parents listening right now that are in lockstep and can wholeheartedly agree. The third Jurassic World film, the sixth in the Dino franchise, Rich, was unbearable.
Is this from Minions?
Unbearable. I don't even know what it was. I have no idea what it was about.
Well, it's complicated. But what I do like about it is they had some of the dinos with feathers. Because what we have realized now is we've done a little bit more research. these dinos are like birds, and they're much closer to that than they are like your alligator, your crocodile. And so there were some weird, there was a couple of creepy scenes. Overall, I'm with you. It was not a very good film.
Oh, it was super not good.
No, I'll tell you this. Speaking of franchises, the worst movie I saw all year was Halloween Ends.
Heard that was a steamer as well.
Just a pile. It really was. The first, so this was like a trilogy.
It didn't answer all the questions from Halloween Kills?
No, it really didn't. The first movie wasn't bad. It was a nice little kind of like relaunch into it. So Danny McBride co-wrote all these. Mm-hmm. And so the first one, you're like, all right, we got something here. Halloween Kills, not very good. Halloween Ends, worse. Just the pits. So that was a frustrating way. And it probably won't end the series anyway. So that'll do it for us here on the Rich Keefe Show. Fitzy, you are not going to be with us the rest of the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on the afternoon program.
Yes, sir. I'll be on 2 to 6 with Mego and Andy Hart Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I will miss the opportunity to go full tang midweek with you as well.
Okay.
Sneak preview. I like a Super Bowl. I still want to see the 49ers and the Bengals for a third time, but I have a sneaky feeling it's going to be Eagles and Bengals.
All right. Very good. We'll talk to Fitzy next week on this show. Ben, great job as always on the trending and the producing of the program. That'll do it for the Rich Keefe Show. Have a great rest of your night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6.